Look, it's a lot more attractive to be an Instagram, TikTok influencer than it is to do email. Like, that is just the reality. It's not the sexiest business. It just isn't. But what I love about it is you don't have to build up this crazy Instagram following. You don't have to put your phone in front of your face for 6 hours a day, recording content and chopping it up and sharing it and getting 3 likes. Like, it's direct. It's one-to-one. So I believe there is no better marketing medium because of the one-to-one component of it.
Welcome to the Jason Mark Campbell Business Podcast, where we explore what it really takes to sell, lead, and grow a business, and ultimately, live well. In every episode, we go beyond tactics to discover how entrepreneurs and leaders across different sectors are growing with love, impact, and integrity. Welcome back, everybody, to Jason Mark Campbell Podcast. Very excited about the conversation we're going to have today. For those of you who are looking to get more clients, you're looking to generate more leads, you're trying to figure out what channels should I be using. Are we using social media? Are we doing launches? Are we doing influencer marketing? It gets to be a little overwhelming if you start thinking about every single way that you could find people that might be interested in your product and service. Now, what if there was something that was very accessible right under our grasp, and we could discover that this is a highly effective way of generating direct leads by using direct response. I'm very excited to speak with Adam Rosen, who's actually an entrepreneur who built high impact company and selling high impact companies. And he scaled his first tech startup to 100,000 users, Fortune 500 clients before its acquisition in 2019. Now he helps people use email outreach to be able to respond, connect with people that may be interested in your product and service. He has over 500 enterprise clients, 10 million plus in product and services sold, and has appeared in over 100 podcasts. We can now say it's at least 101 as he joins me on the show today. And we're going to talk about how to use data, how to have the right mindset, how to do the outreach, and how effective it is in today's world. Adam, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome.
Jason, I appreciate you having me. Excited to be here.
Now, Adam, I'm going to throw like the assumption that came from that introduction is, are you encouraging people to spam people?
I am encouraging people to email people, but no, spam, we don't want to spam. But any marketing, there's always that fine line between being thoughtful and being professional versus being spamming or being careless and not valuing the other party. So hopefully the emailing that we do and that your listeners will do after today will be much more thoughtful and not viewed at as spam.
The other thing I need to throw at you right off the gate is, I think I hear this every 3 years. Someone goes and says, email is dead. Now, you are focusing and speaking a lot about email outreaching. What is the cycle where everybody says email is dead? And is email actually dead today?
So it's funny. I actually pretty consistently say email is dead. So I agree with you. It is dead if you don't know what you're doing. Because the reality is, back like when I was building my first tech startup, you know, as you were describing earlier, email was honestly pretty easy. Like, you got a list, you can write a half decent email, you could blast it out to thousands of people. And number one, there was a good chance you would land in the inbox. And number two, there wasn't quite as much noise. So you could get away with not being that great at emailing. Today, though, the level of complexity is night and day from what it ever was. So in order for it to work, there does take an added level of care and an added layer of expertise. But if you can do it well today, I believe it's the golden age of cold email. No better time to email. So if you can do it well, the results are not just still there, but can be better than ever. However, if you don't know what you're doing, I tell people don't even bother because it's just going to be a waste of time and money.
That seems to be a bit of the straight out the gate approach, is you might start sending out emails, just maybe you have a small list and you're maybe sending out something daily. You're not really sure exactly what strategy to follow. So what would be the biggest mistakes that happen when people are encouraged, they're excited, and they want to get out the gate and connect with people?
First, it's the psychological component of it. Like, marketing in general, and I really don't care what type of marketing it is, email marketing, social media, SEO, shoot, putting a billboard in Times Square. Like, any type of marketing is a marathon, not a sprint. And I think far too often we look for something that is just turnkey. We're going to get great results in the next week. And if we don't, we shut it off. And it's almost like that meme or whatever it is, where it's like that person that's chipping away at the rock. And they didn't realize they had one more chip to do and they would have got to that gold mine. But instead they stop, they turn around, they walk the other direction. So the number one thing is just psychologically saying, hey, this is going to be a marathon. This isn't going to be a sprint. But once I get there, once I get to what I call email message fit, holy crap, there is a huge opportunity for me to scale this thing in a sustainable way, but it's not going to happen necessarily overnight. So that's number one. Number two, the other part of the psychological component is understanding, hey, this thing will work, but you have to give it time. And also knowing like, in email, you're going to get some responses you don't love. Like it's very much direct marketing. Like you said, it's one-to-one direct emailing. Sometimes you're going to get people that say, hey, stop emailing me. What are you doing? And that's okay. That happens in all marketing. You know, I've done a lot of meta ads, Facebook ads in the past for real estate developments I've worked on. And I had some people tell me the worst stuff in the world from seeing my Facebook videos. But typically it's things that are going on in their life, not necessarily the marketing you're doing. So those are two of the more psychological components that people have to get through before you get into even more of the technical side.
I know there's some potential and there's definitely some results that come. I mean, you've proven it in all your organization. You advise clients and they all get some success by using this medium. What do you think are the unknown, amazing things that happen if you use this medium versus any other medium I was speaking at the beginning? Because I feel like this is one of the ones that is often overlooked. And quite frankly, most people feel more comfortable putting out a social media post, feel more comfortable writing a blog. They're all marketing activities, but this one seems to hit the anxiety button a little stronger. So what is on the other side? What are people missing out on this medium?
Well, I think there's a few things. Number one, like, look, it's a lot more attractive to be an Instagram, TikTok influencer than it is to do email. Like that is just the reality. It's not the sexiest business. It just isn't. But what I love about it is you don't have to build up this crazy Instagram following. You don't have to put your phone in front of your face for 6 hours a day, recording content and chopping it up and sharing it and getting 3 likes. Like it's direct, it's one-to-one. So I believe there is no better marketing medium because of the one-to-one component of it. So just to help open people's minds when it comes to email, all it is connecting party A to party B. That is all email is. So when you think of it from a business perspective, like my first tech startup, we raised money from our anchor investor from a cold email. We found the company that bought my startup from cold email. We got some of the biggest brands in the world, Amazon, Apple, Goldman, Disney, BlackRock, through cold email. We had 100,000 students sign up on our platform. Almost all of them were through cold email. We would host big webinars. We would drive most of our traffic through email. Shoot, we got advisors, even friends of mine came from cold email. Like of two very close friends of mine, both of their businesses were in Chicago. I cold emailed them to try to sell them my product. I met up with them. One of them became a customer and we've done a lot of business together over the last 7 or 8 years. He's one of my best buds now. Another one, we didn't do business together. She became a close friend of mine. My current business, over half of our 170 customers and growing have come from cold email. So again, it's just a way to connect party A to party B, whatever it is, podcasts, you name it, email again, just as the source to get you connected to those folks.
Funny enough, I feel like it's the more humane approach to connecting with people as opposed to social media where you're just screaming in the void and being a little narcissist in the process. Now, I was going to say, you spoke about how most people are doing email wrong. And I'd be curious to know what are some of the things that you need to have in place or you have to make sure you're avoiding. Because let's be honest, we get a lot of crap emails. I mean, we're on the receiving end. I'm definitely on the sending end. I've sent some bad emails too. But maybe there's a few rules of thumbs that people should be aware of if they're going to be using this medium so they make sure they actually connect with people and have as much success as you did.
Yeah, number one, the number one problem I see people make, and it's amazing to me how many very successful large organizations do this problem. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh shoot, I didn't know about this, don't worry. More people than I would think, these big companies, marketing leaders, still make this mistake. So in the old days of email, shoot, even like 2-3 years ago, you could get away with sending thousands of emails a day from your primary domain, from your main inbox. So what I mean by that is my website is eocworks.com. My email is adam@eocworks.com. Back in the day, I could send thousands of emails a day from adam@eocworks.com. No problem. Now you cannot do that. If you do that, it's going to do far more harm than good. The reason why is Google and Yahoo and Microsoft. These providers have gotten so strict because, to your point earlier, Jason, they don't want spammers. They don't want bad emailers. So they've cracked down on cold emailers. So if you send more than 10 emails from your inbox in a day, outbound wise, that's one of the ways you get flagged as a potential spammer. Now there's two problems to that. The first problem is my emails to that prospect, there's a good chance they're going to go and spam. But the second problem, which is a way bigger problem, is if you do that enough, your domain, so in my case, eocworks.com, can be flagged as spam, which could negatively impact my domain, which could even blacklist my domain, meaning any emails anyone within my organization sends could now land in spam. So that's the number one problem. Never, ever, ever do outbound from your primary domain. You want to create an infrastructure, so a bunch of cold email domains that you're going to be sending your emails from.
Wait, so you would have it like you buy a domain, say it's like json.io or json.co type of thing?
Exactly, yeah. So like our number one driver of new business, as I mentioned earlier, is through cold email. So my team is probably sending from, 300-400 domains and probably about 1,500-1,600 email inboxes because of the volume my team is emailing at. And if we did that for my domain, we'd be blacklisted and we'd have to create a new website.
Damn. Well, one thing I'd want to clarify here is when you're doing outreach like this, is that the same as sending a marketing email from like your email service provider? So if I'm using something like, Kajabi or MailChimp, are you saying that this is an approach you have to do for those types of email, or are you talking about something different?
So a lot of times when you use like a Kajabi or MailChimp or Beehive or ListKit, you name it, oftentimes you're sending from a shared server. So you're going to be reaching out through them. So be like, at MailChimp.com. You can still send emails from your primary domain, but they should be opt-in and these should be warm emails that you've already interacted with and have opted into.
Mm. But when they're cold, first off, it's not even allowed to use these automated systems because you need to have had an opt-in for people to connect. So you're reaching out to new people that aren't existing on your list. So you're individually finding these people, tailoring the message, but you're doing it at scale. So how do you balance the personalization versus the scale when you're actually trying to reach out to potential prospects?
So going back to what I said earlier around it being the golden age of email, one of the reasons why is because the tools at our disposal now are insanely powerful. They're not easy to use, but if you can use them right, they're insanely powerful. So for example, one of my favorite technologies is a tool called Clay. And if you use this tool properly, you could send thousands and thousands and thousands of emails where, I kid you not, if you build it right, every email you would think this person just spent 2 hours researching me, my company, and they watched a podcast episode I was on, et cetera, and then wrote me a handcrafted note, where the type of replies we get, things like either one, thank you for doing your homework on me, which we didn't, or two, you're really good at AI. Because it's not like, hey, I saw you went to this university or I saw you're in Bali. It's like real personalization that it feels like only a human could do if they really spend the time doing it.
Do you feel like it's out of integrity?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. No, I think it's actually a good thing. The reason why is the biggest problem I have with people in my inbox, and you kind of mentioned it earlier, the biggest problem is when I feel like people don't value my inbox. And what do I mean by that? It doesn't mean I don't want people to cold email me. I do. There's 97 problems I want to have solved for my business. Certain problems I want to have solved yesterday. Other problems, yeah, I could look at in 6 months. I'm sure same with you, Jason. I'm sure same with everybody listening. Now, where I find that solution, whether I'm walking down the street and someone hands me a flyer or they email me, I really don't care. I just want to find a solution to this problem. But when people throw lazy crap into my inbox that I know they didn't think through or doesn't solve a problem that somebody like me would most likely be facing, it feels like they're not appreciating and respecting my inbox. So our goal is with every customer, how do we analyze a problem that they solve, get really tight on their ideal customer, and then position that message in a way that feels like it's human, is customized to them, and easy for them to take action on. So it's not going to take more than 10 seconds for them to read this email. And if they are interested, great, book a time with our customer. If you're not, no worries, go along with your day. Obviously, I'm biased, so I have to say, I think it's with integrity, but I think it's the most integrity-filled marketing you do if you do it right, because you have to make it clear and to the point for these folks. So you're not disrespecting their inbox.
I've seen two types of people. So on the receiving end, the most common thing I receive cold outreaches for is people that want to come on this show, right? And there is a significant difference between somebody who reaches out and their message actually contains the key information that I need to know to make a decision if this guest comes on or not, versus the one that I know has been either plastered out and isn't even relevant, that just, you know, comes in my inbox and frustrates me, or if I can see that it was done in a lazy way. But what you're saying is that the technology is now at a point so that what you do receive saves the person's time, makes it more relevant. And so in that case, now you're speaking the language that's necessary for people to take action if this is the right thing for them.
Yeah, the problem though is with technology and with AI, one of the biggest problems I think human beings face, period, is cutting corners. Like, it's easier than ever to cut corners. It's easier than ever to go and launch a campaign. Anyone could do it. You can pay $100, $200, go into Instantly, you can launch a campaign. But the reality is it's probably going to be done poorly. So it's easier than ever to launch a campaign, but it's harder than ever to do it right, because it does take real work and real expertise to do it. My inbox is still full of crap, and I always battle with, do I call this person out on LinkedIn because of how bad this was? With the goal of not embarrassing them, I'd hide their name, but with the goal of moving the industry forward. Because that was something I've learned. I remember hearing this from a really smart advisor in my first tech startup. He said, Adam, the goal of every startup should be to move your industry forward where it's better off after you leave it. And that's what I'm trying to do. We're trying to do with Email Outreach Company is, I hate bad emails in my inbox, just like everybody does. And I'm hoping we can help make all of our inboxes a little better, a little clearer, and a little more value focused. But no, there's still a ton of horrible emails in everyone's inbox, despite the great technology that makes it so that shouldn't be a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I've seen the dark side of this equation, which is a lot of people using that technology to accelerate their shittiness.
Right, exactly. It's true. It just makes it easier to do a poor job.
So one of the things I'd love to ask is, if somebody's listening to this and being like, okay, this sounds good, I could reach out to people, and the technology, put that aside, like at a minimum, if you're just practicing this, is you have an email, you write somebody an email that's relevant to them and you reach out cold, your chance of getting a response is much higher. But where do you even start with finding those emails and finding these people?
The nice thing too is, like, that stuff is so much easier than it used to be. Like, you used to have to pay like $1 a contact on Zoom Info or find a third party on Upwork to get this for you. Like, there's great technologies out there. Apollo is a good one to get lists from Instantly. They have basic lists. Like, are they the greatest list in the world? No. Should you couple it with other technologies to make it so it's a phenomenal list? Yes. But just to get started, you could at least have a B- level list for very cheap and very quickly. And I would just use Instantly or Apollo if you're like just getting started. I just had this conversation earlier with someone we're going to be doing consulting work for. And right now, and they admitted this, they're at like literally square zero. You know, they're at zero. Their goal is to get to 10. We're not going to throw the most complex stuff on their plate. So how do you just get started? How do you dip your toes in? Then how do you start crawling? How do you start walking? Then you could start running. So just to get started, there's tools like Instantly or Apollo that you could do all this stuff for very easily and very cheaply too.
So I got to bring it to ground zero, because my typical listener might not even know about these technologies. What exactly is Apollo going to do, and what does that look like?
So Instantly, Apollo, they're very similar tools. Instantly is an all-encompassing now email marketing software where if you wanted to, you could build your infrastructure through them. Although I wouldn't recommend it just because there's cheaper solutions to build an infrastructure. But if you just want ease, you can build your domains and your emails there. If you want to get lists, you could get lists through Instantly. If you want to send out your campaigns, you can send out your campaigns through Instantly. When people reply to your campaigns, even if you have 5,000 inboxes, it goes into one central inbox where you can reply to all of them, almost like you only had one inbox. So you can also reply to them. So everything you need to do when it comes to email marketing, you could do through Instantly if you just wanted one tool and you wanted to start in easy mode. And then there's another 30 plus tools we use, but that's more of like when you get to the next level. But just to get started, Instantly could literally do everything you need to run your email campaigns.
Is this a budget that you should be considering before you even consider this medium?
I mean, Instantly for all that stuff, depending on the volume you're doing, you're probably looking at a few $100. Like, it's not like it's thousands of dollars to get started. You could probably get started on easy mode with Instantly for $300, $400 a month.
So now we know there's technology that makes it easy. We know we can reach these people. And like you're talking about these lists, do you get to choose who you want to contact? Like, how do you find out who are the right people you want to reach out for your offer?
Yeah, you want to get targeted, right? So maybe a certain location you want to reach out to. So like maybe for you, Jason, you want to reach out to people in Bali, or you want to reach out to people in Europe or the US or wherever. Maybe certain industries, you know, maybe for your breath work, Jason, you want to reach out to busy CEOs of founders with 10 to 25 employees. Maybe you want to reach out to chief people officers because they might be wanting to host an event for breath work for their employees. And the more targeted you get, the better, because then you can really narrow down on the problem you solve.
Stop giving me good ideas. Now my brain is starting to think, oh, wow, yeah, we could do that. And for anybody who's like a coach or a consultant, and I love that you use the word campaign because I think that's the right thing, is you can make a decision saying, I'm going to do a campaign targeting, I don't know, HR industries that are in oil and gas. And that's, I mean, I can find the chief of staffs and I can start reaching out to them directly in a very targeted message that speaks exactly to what would be their types of pain point. I've seen some recommendations around doing these connections on LinkedIn to be like cold connections on LinkedIn. This seems even more direct. How do these companies have all these emails? Is this legal?
Yes, it is legal. And yeah, LinkedIn is good. We'll do LinkedIn to complement. And the problem with LinkedIn is your volume, the scale you could do it at is limited because you can only send so many connection requests. And I think our LinkedIn inboxes might be even more full than email inboxes. For anyone listening who feels like I'm not at product market fit stage yet, I believe the number one best part about email for startups is the market development side of it. The reason why is, number one, it's very direct. So like if you want to reach out to HR directors at companies with 1,000 or more employees, you can get very narrow in those people. So number one, it's direct right to the people you want to sell to. But number two, you get very honest feedback from it. Like if somebody sees your Instagram post, your Facebook post, or even your SEO, they're probably not giving you feedback on like, I don't like this, or I don't want this, or I'm not the right person. Versus an email, you're going to get people that say, wow, this is amazing. Let's talk tomorrow. Or why are you reaching out to me about this? Like this person at my company deals with stuff like this. Or your email sucks. What are you talking about? Or I don't understand your pitch, or any other response they might have. You get really good feedback. So when you want to test out new verticals, like, hey, would these types of people be interested? Email, you could get launched in 2 hours and get feedback from the campaign very quickly.
This is awesome. I didn't realize the technology was at that point yet. So this is eye-opening to me. This is fascinating. And again, it seems like you can get to higher and higher levels of sophistication. But like at the beginning, when you're doing your very first campaign, is there a minimum volume that you should reach out to so that you get to have some sort of data that is relevant? Like, is it after reaching out to 5 people or hundreds of people?
Yeah, I'd say in the hundreds, like 5 people, you're not really giving yourself a chance. Like for context, if you can get one person to say, I want to meet with you, for every 2,500 total emails you send, you're doing very well. So I know some people might see that and be like, holy crap, 2,500 people, that's a lot. If anyone's ever done LinkedIn advertising or Facebook or, you know, TikTok, you name it, you'll always see the impressions number, like 68,000 impressions, 127 likes, 17 comments, 34 form fills, like same idea with email. So the key is, how do you do email, but do it at scale?
It's so funny what you talk about being able to get that feedback from the right people. Because I post a lot of clips, you know, on Instagram from all these interviews we do. And sometimes the comment that I'll say will be like, oh, you shaved. You don't have a beard anymore. And it'll be like, did you not listen to what was relevant? So I find these social media platforms oftentimes is not the space, the time, or the medium where people are thinking about business solutions. And given that a lot of the examples we've used in a business context, is this something you primarily advocate for people who are doing business with other businesses? Or when it comes to direct to consumer, is this also a medium that is encouraged?
Most of our customers are B2B. We do work with a growing number of B2C companies. Oftentimes they're either in real estate or they just sell a higher ticket offer. The main reason we don't work with a ton of B2C is just because, like, if you're selling like a $79 water bottle, it's not going to make financial sense to work with us. We'll probably be too expensive. But if I was creating a water bottle, I would be doing a lot of email marketing for that. So again, the whole thing with email is a way to connect party A to party B. And if you can get their email address, I highly recommend using email as a medium. And if you're thinking, but I don't have like a traditional use case for email, like not selling a software or an SEO tool or you name it, it's actually a really good, like some of our best performing customers sell something that you would not expect to be sold through email. And the reason why it works so well is because those prospects are not typically getting these emails in their inbox. Versus like if you're selling like a technology solution to CTOs, they're getting bombarded with other solutions all day, every day. So it's really hard to stick out. But like one of our customers, they do stonework. You know, they'll do stonework for patios, you know, you name it. And there's not many cold emailers out there that are doing that, and definitely not a lot that are doing well. So for them, they crush it because their audience probably doesn't even realize the emails we're sending are all written through AI. And they think it's like, wow, this person really did their homework on me. But in reality, no, we just send that to tens of thousands of people.
So there's a ton of decisions you have to make on a daily basis as to where to put your energy and which mediums to use to be able to generate more revenue, generate more clients. If you'd had to sum it up in one statement for somebody who's on the fence and they're thinking like, okay, this is interesting, I have more questions about it, what is the single biggest reason that you think people are just absolutely missing the ball on this, that they should put this as a priority?
Well, the number one reason I think is the psychological component. I think most people don't do email because they think it is dead, or they just don't like email as a tool to grow their marketing. Like they want to do something that feeds the ego a little more, which I get. Like I don't blame them for that. So that I think is the number one thing. If you can get over the psychological hurdle and really look at this as a long-term play, I mean, of course I'm biased, obviously, but there's a reason why we started this company. And if we didn't have email, again, our business would literally be cut in half in terms of the business we're doing, because it continues to be our biggest driver.
And who would be the right kind of person for you to help them put this channel into motion? What would you let them know on the best ways to get started working with you?
Best ways to start working with us would be to send me an email, adam@eocworks.com, and we can get on a call and learn more about what they do and if we could be helpful. But our best customers are companies that are either at product market fit stage or are closing in on it. The main reason is like if we get you meetings, we want you to close those deals, because the more deals our customers close, the more money they're going to want to pay us. We could do things at a bigger scale. Where if they don't close deals, our relationship at some point is going to come to an end. So that's number one. And then number two, the higher the ticket, the better. Like if you do sell a $79 water bottle, it's probably not going to make sense to work together. But if you sell a $79,000 solution, then it's really easy for the ROI to work on our customer side.
Adam, this has been a fascinating conversation. I was really excited to speak with you because I knew you'd open my mind to a medium that I had not looked into in a long time. And now that the technology has updated, the AI is available, I think there's huge potential for me to go and revisit that. Key things I'm going to take as an action from here is I'm going to go see some of the softwares you've been speaking about and look at how it could be applicable for not only ourselves to see how many other people might be interested in becoming breathworkers, which is the company I'm consulting right now, but also for our students who are breathworkers, who are dealing with organizations, wanting to get into corporate. This can be an absolute channel that somebody could take on, crush in their local market, and really be able to have success, realize they can scale it, they can personalize it. And in that moment that they're feeling like, oh, there's not enough business coming in, you're taking the effort to be able to take control of the volume by actually putting your foot out there, sending out those emails and seeing that replies are coming in. And now you got yourself some busy pipelines. It's been absolutely fascinating. And I do have to ask you one more question, which I used to always ask on the old podcast, which was the selling with love one, which is, what does selling with love mean to you?
Going back to what we said earlier, and I talk about this with my team all the time, is putting care into your work. Like conscientiousness is the big word I use. But I think if you go into every sales opportunity, marketing, and you genuinely care about the other party and you genuinely care about solving a problem they have, and you're genuinely curious, you're going to be very successful. So that's what I try to do. And anytime I feel like I'm falling in a rut when it comes to sales or growth, it's typically because I get away from care and more thinking about the transaction. So that's where I would go, is just if you genuinely care, whether it's sales, everything in life, though, will be a lot better.
Amen to that. Love that answer. Brilliant. Adam, it was a pleasure having this conversation. Thank you for introducing me to this world. I'm going to go do some Googling, checking into stuff out, and I'll also look into your services as well. For everybody else tuning in, we'll put some links so you can discover more from Adam's work. And we hope that you've been open to the possibility of seeing how outreach email might be a channel you've never considered, but might bring you the gold that you've been looking for. Thanks again, Adam.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you for listening to the Jason Mark Campbell Business Podcast. And of course, keep selling with love.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.